We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on into the boardroom. Johnny here alongside Josh and Sam, and we have a special guest, Robert Rosenthal, with us to talk through the Illinois-Purdue 96-88 double overtime game. Robert, thanks for joining us. What are your initial takeaways after today's game?
I'm bitter. And it's been... What time is it? It's like 9 o'clock. So it's been, what time did the game get over? Like 1:30? Yeah. It's been a while and I'm still bitter. I just couldn't get over, like, I wanted to be the dominant team and Purdue trying to catch up to us. And it felt like they were the dominant team and they got the calls and they had the swagger and they're talking, yapping at the other team. And I just kind of hated the vibe of the whole game because maybe it's just all in my head, but I want to picture us as back and confident and cocky and how dare you come into our house. And it was kind of like this little Purdue celebration in there. And I hated it.
That's totally fair. But 30 minutes after the game, Nate_Grimm tweeted, "Anybody not viewing today's game as a net positive is delusional." And your response was raise his hand and ducks. So yes. Let's just give you the floor. We're now 6 hours after that time frame.
Yes.
Go for it.
It was the 17-0 run. The 17-0 run late first half where I was like, I don't know. I just had this feeling of, hey, wait, we're not supposed to have that in us this year. Like, let me explain it this way. 99, 2000 to 06, we were competitive every year. There was a column, who was it? Grant Wall would always write it. Like, it was a mid-January column every year of, like, okay, we've seen enough to see who are the contenders for national title, for Final Four, and who just has these flaws. And I remember in, like, when did we lose to Indiana by, like, 35? Like, 2003, I think? We were, like, eliminated from the column. It's like, okay, look, you know, you just don't have it. You know, Illinois can't be it. And no team that, you know, is down 35 in the first half is going to get to the Final Four. So, you know, cross Illinois off the list. There are always these moments that took us out of contention. And today, with Purdue looking so good during that run and us looking so desperate and bad, I just had this, like, oh, man, do we have that Achilles? Curbelo's back and just a little foul trouble for Kofi and we fall apart? So that's why I was discouraged by today, you know? So I'm sitting there at halftime thinking about, like, oh God. Okay. So just say we lose at Maryland this weekend. Oh man. Like, okay. Then what if we lose three in a row with Michigan State? Like, if we have this in us where we can just let the team have a 17-0 run, you know, I was missing Io and I just wasn't good at halftime. And remained bitter the rest of the game. And as Purdue kind of took over, yes, the officials, the fouls on Kofi. Yes, we were down to DVV having to guard two really good bigs. Yes, we fought back. We were down 7 with a minute 30 or whatever and tied it, sent it to overtime. We fought back in the second overtime, or to send it to a second overtime. Yes, I get all of that. But my overarching feel after this was one of disappointment. Just because... you know, that run and just as kind of helpless as we looked in that moment, I thought, oh man, this is going to happen at some point later in the season and it's going to be our downfall. So
this is where we're missing Maddie. I feel like Maddie would be able to diagnose Robert right now with something.
Yes.
Depression. Yeah.
he would, depression is one of them, but like,
yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
I'm just like listening to Robert say all of this, and it's not like in the context of today, this year, where we lose Curbelo early in the season for 10 plus games. And now you watch today's game against literally the new number four team in the country. We're in it into double overtime, and you're just able to rattle off all of that. When going into today's game, where they're supposed to be, we were at the time 25, and we're not like the team that we weren't the team that we started the season at, but we're now few months into the season, and we're obviously in a much better place. And I don't think today discouraged any of the goodwill that we've had the last six games to start the Big Ten season.
Yeah, I can't ever explain it when I'm like this. I can't ever put words, and I hope to God I'm wrong. I just had this emotion while watching maybe it was just Curbelo being back. Like, look, okay, what are the two horrific stretches this season? Late first half of this game and the stretch in Cincinnati where we fell apart. And those were two games where we had everybody. There was nobody on the bench. I mean, maybe Hutcherson was injured for Cincinnati. I don't know. But I just had the Cincinnati vibes today in the first half. And yes, I know we fought back, and at Cincinnati we didn't or whatever. But that's just where I was. Like, when I see us, like, fall apart to go from, you know, everything to nothing, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to get myself out of it. I don't know how to climb out of that hole. I have these high expectations. You know, I've been to all these games. I've seen us fight back. I saw what we did at the end of Nebraska. You know, I have all the data. But just something about the blank stares during these runs against Cincinnati and Purdue just have me really down. You know, maybe it's just a loss and I'll get over it. And maybe if, you know, maybe if we hit one more three in the first overtime, then I'm giddy right now and everything else. But it's just where I'm at today.
I see both sides. I'm kind of like, I feel like a mediator because I don't know which side I'm on. On one hand, we, to Josh's point, get to double overtime with now the number four team. On the other hand, I think we led since the big Purdue run. I think we lead for like 17 seconds for the rest of the game. There's a quick half of possession where we go up 1 point, and it's sort of like we were just sort of lucky to hang around in that game, and Purdue had an answer for everything time and time again. I just don't know. I don't think I have a gut feeling on this one.
I think there's also like this thing of like, so it was like half crush, right? It was like half crush and half old people. You know, crush had the option of their seats and they were all sitting together, and then the rest was olds like me. So it's kind of a weird section. But I think most of the crush who got tickets were behind the press table there, like behind the scores table. So they were directly behind me. Their focus the entire game was how ugly Sasha Stefanovic was. Like, they just, like, Sasha, you're so ugly. You know, he's at the line, Sasha's ugly. Like, this is this whole thing. He keeps hitting three after three and staring them down. Like, this was the biggest, like, slap down of the crush I may have ever witnessed in person. They just kept going after him, and he hit five threes in a row and would look over at them. And then they'd go back, you're ugly, your mom's probably, like, they're just going after him. And I'm like, I'm in this mood of like, somebody, like, stop. Like, stop egging him on. Let's not care about him. Let's get back in this game. Like, Plummer hit a 3-2. You know, the whole vibe in there was like, we were the insecure kids, and they just slapped us down and left. And so that, it's so hard when that is happening, like when our fans are mocking them and they're hitting threes, and when our fans are mocking Painter and he's, you know, playing the right chess pieces, and everybody's mocking Edie and he does what he does, that it's just like, why are we, like, we're in first place in the Big Ten. We should be the ones cocky here, and we're the ones getting, you know, getting, what, for lack of a better term, IO. Like, you know, somebody just takes over the game and tells us to shut up. So that, again, it was the way the whole thing played out that I then get on Twitter and all these people are like, I've never met a game that was more, I felt good about a loss. I've never felt better about a loss. Number four, and we took them to double. Like, so if I'm in that mindset and then I see all those tweets, you might as well just triple my depression, because it's like, no, people, like, that's not what was happening today. The way I'm feeling and sensing all of this around me is we don't know how to be the person, the team who dictates what's going on. And we just let somebody come in and toy with us and slap us around. And it just didn't, it didn't feel good. I left bitter. I spent 4 hours writing that. I was trying to like not go in the bitter directions, but I was bitter. You know, it was Purdue who had the ref in their pockets when at a home game, when we have a potential player of the year, it should be us. It should be Kofi getting the calls. So just the way all of those things played out and our fans trying to get on Purdue's players and them backing it up like I haven't seen in a long time, it just left me in this spot of like frustration and like this is just off, and it's not all wine and roses that everybody seems to be making it. And it's just where I am. And it could be bitterness and I'll be fine in a few days, but like I just don't have a good feeling.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. I think a lot of people when they look at that game, they think about the fact that you had an uncharacteristic night from Kofi, where when you think about all the best teams in college basketball, Purdue might have the number one set of bigs in the entire nation, if not Illinois, or maybe even, I mean, Arizona had a really good set. So like Purdue had an answer there. And I think a lot of people, when they're looking at our team, they're like, well, what are the long-term implications of that game? And the long-term implications are, we have an Andre Curbelo that can play effectively. I mean, I think everyone, if you would have told them you get a 20-point performance out of Andre Curbelo, heck, he was our team's leading rebounder with 6 rebounds and didn't turn the ball over, I think a lot of people would have been like, wow, I will take that. Because to me, it's like going into this game, Curbelo is a huge uncertainty. We don't know 100% like what his health is going to be like the rest of the season. And maybe that's also dictating like why you might be a little bit like upset, but there's a lot of like positive things to take away from that game. So it's easy to maybe write off and say, okay, we had one of Kofi's worst performances of his career and we still went to double overtime with the number four team in the country. And mm-hmm. I sometimes gravitate towards that because the only things we can control are how our players played. We can't control the refs. Like, okay, like that, whether or not they should have been in our pocket, shouldn't have been, whether or not it's the Big Ten, like they should be favoring the team that's 6-0, whatever. Like, we can't control that. But what we can control is having an effective Andre Curbelo, having a team that down 11 at halftime does not quit, down 11 at halftime and loses Kofi Coburn with two fouls, but with sitting on the bench with 4 fouls before the under 16, and you still saw a team come back. And despite the fact that like Jacob Grandison, pretty much a non-factor in that game, Omar Payne after the fouls, non-factor in the game, we played 20 minutes of our third string center and still competed. And partially that was a real like impressive effort by BBV to be ready and to handle Travion Williams and handle Zach Edey in the way that he did. And maybe he played out of his mind, but you saw how different that team looked with Andre Curbelo on the floor, where we saw for 2 minutes against Michigan when Trent and Kofi were off the floor, how this team just looked completely motionless and stagnant and we couldn't really do anything. Yep. And now it's like, okay, we can do this for 40 minutes. And we did that with Andre Curbelo not having played for 2 months, and he had practiced for 2 days and I'm going to guess was limited in those practices. So all were kind of like the data points that you're referring to are, okay, a Cincinnati game that was 2 months ago and probably lingering effects. And then now a game that's Andre Curbelo's first game back. And heck, I mean, we love Trent Frazier. He still went 2-for-9 from 3. Like, that was a very like average to below average performance from most of the guys on Illinois, and we still fought and still kind of competed. So yes, it would have been amazing to win at home, and it's frustrating that Purdue went on that 17-0 run, but at the same time, it's not a team that just could have easily folded when you lost your All-American center. And what they did was respond and say, okay, we're not done. So you would hope that, like, over the course of the season, we get those reps with Trent and Curbelo and Plummer together, and we get all of those, like, those players together to say, I'm confident in this team, because at least for a lot of us, it seems like, okay, we can see how this team can make a deep run now. They just have enough firepower. And Arizona, we're like, we have everything, but there were a few moments we didn't have Curbelo, and now it feels like we've got the guys. We just kind of need to do it. And maybe it's Coleman Hawkins having the flu today and throwing up before the game and playing 4 minutes in a double overtime game where you had no one in the front court. So suffice to say, like, disappointing that you don't get the win, but at least you're able to take away a lot of, like, you feel like you've got a good amount in the inventory, assuming that Curbelo's health remains a positive.
Yes. And look, I get the, how do I say it? Like, look, the guy screaming keep Lovey after losing to Iowa 63-0 is sitting here, you know, Mr. Wide-Eyed Optimist, it's going to happen, is sitting here like, oh man, I'm so depressed after losing a double overtime to number four at home with our third string backup center playing the best two bigs in the country. I totally get how this sounds. Like, I have just always been, you know, all I can do is, like, take my exact emotions, even if they don't make sense, and put them out there for people. Like, it's the promise I made myself 10 years ago. Like, if I was ever, it was going to do this blog, I was going to do that. And I understand how stupid it looks when I say keep Lovey, and I understand how stupid it looks when I'm upset about this game. But it's just how I feel. You can ask my wife what I've been like for the last 6 hours. You know, like, I am just not there. And I get all the facts about this, and I get all the, yes, theoretically it's fine, but I also have this, God, what if we lose 5 of 7 here? Like, what if this is the start of something? And it's not really like worry or fear. It's just this, I don't know what's missing, but something's missing. And Purdue was confident and dominant like we were last year at Michigan. And we were a little foldy, and it showed itself again. And I am worried, and I don't know why, but it's there, and it's what's on my mind, so I'm talking about it. So it's the best I can do. Like, I have no logic to it. I don't even feel like myself. But it's just, I don't know. I don't know what I felt like was missing, but it was missing. Like, look, after the Virginia loss, I did a radio show in Champaign with Lauren Tate, and, like, a lot of the talk that way was before Maryland, and I said, like, I don't get the feeling. We've had this go on the road and get blown out in September thing before, South Florida in 2017, and, you know, whatever, we go on the road, Washington in 2015 or 2014, you know, we go on the road, get beat, and then everybody's just like, okay, that's out, we're out on Illinois football. And I said, like, this is gonna sound like rosy-eyed, and I want it to be, I don't see this team like this. There's something different about this team, and I think I don't think this is gonna be a collapse like other Big Ten seasons. And it sounded kind of stupid, and I had people texting me and tweeting me, like, ah, come on. It's like, you saw what happened. Give up. Virginia could have scored 60. It's over. And I just talked about what my feelings are. Well, my feelings are right now is I don't know why we're 6-1 in the freaking Big Ten. Maybe it's the fact that we only have one quad one win at Iowa. But I just have this, like, something's off, and we got to put it all together. We have time. It's January 17th or whatever. We're okay. But there was just something in this game that has me bothered. And I can't put words to it other than just this vomit that I'm giving you guys right now.
I don't call it vomit. I just call it how fans are going to feel. Don't worry about that. We're all giving our own version of how we can feel, and I think we cover a good spectrum of what we're hoping for here.
Yeah, I love that you guys have me come on your podcast, and I just like piss all over everything. You're welcome.
No, that's what we want.
Robert, I do have a question. So I know, like, before the last AP poll came out, we kind of knew we would be high 20s, and you wrote about how it seemed pretty like on par to be 25th thereabouts, and everyone was tweeting like we should be higher. Like, when are we gonna get ranked? Do you feel like that kind of mindset coming in, and I know the Michigan game happened since, do you feel like that sort of was like, for you, kind of made you want to look for something more convincing in this team to change
it's
your
possible.
Mind?
It's possible. See, Sam, you play the role of
Yeah. Like, I was a psychology major.
That's right. By the way, about 10 minutes ago, a strange figure walked down those stairs behind you. I don't know if you guys are getting robbed or if this is, that's your other roommate, but I'm just letting you know.
It was our other roommate, but can't rule out also being robbed.
Okay, good. He had like a hoodie on, hoodie over his head, so it was quite suspicious. It's possible that once I started pointing out, like, the look, you know, this is pretty easy schedule so far in this 6-0, and tough games are coming, and we just don't have the resume NCAA wins right now to be anything more than a 6 or 7 seed. It's possible that when we do, you know, have a chance for a real quality win at home and we lose, just like Arizona, then I'm like, see, here we are. You know, it's very possible that I'm doing that. But I can't say it any other way than it was just this weird feeling. Again, this is not, it's not like how I felt in 2016. It's not like how I felt in 2010 when things were going poorly. Like, those were, oh God, are we ever going to get it back? You know, we have it back. I have very high expectations for this team. I think Kofi could build himself in the National Player of the Year. I think having Bello back, if he plays like that, 20 points, no turnovers, we have a 1-2 punch there. You get all those other pieces working. We are dangerous, dangerous. And so I think it's because of those crazy expectations of what it could be that Cincinnati, that the, you know, that even the Arizona game or this game has left me like, oh God, we got to get those big wins like we had last year. That's what's missing so far is the quad one wins. And, you know, I just really need to see it. What are we in net right now? I know we're 10. I tweeted that. Like, net. What's our, I don't have that in front of me. I
team sheet,
my computer,
like,
in here. Yeah, team sheet. Are we just one quad one win?
I think we have,
I think
we're
1-3. Now, Minnesota fell out, so we were.
Oh yeah, we're Minnesota 1-2. I guess now 1-3. Yeah, once it.
1-3 and quad one. Okay, that's. I mean, it's fine. We'll have like 8-9 opportunities for quad one wins. But just having one right now is a little sketch, to use your young kids' terminology.
Yeah. Sketch that gets numbies, right?
Well, I just learned numbies what on Friday, Thursday.
Yeah,
learned numbies.
Uh-huh. Yes, the goal is to always get numbies.
How will my insane ranties tonight do for your numbies?
Hopefully well. One quad one win is tough. I feel like you're gonna be. I don't worry about that yet. We have gotten to a point where, like, we're 6-1. We have to, like, continue trust that we should be a top, I guess, now 4 team in the Big Ten. And I don't think you worry about quad one wins until you're at least, like, at that, if you ever get to, like, a 500 point in Big Ten.
I mean, no, it's a fair thing to worry about, because Robert's not concerned about making the tournament. He's concerned about being a top 3 seed, like, avoiding the 4-5 line. And,
yep.
And it's a totally fair gripe that Illinois really doesn't have a great quality win. Your best 2 wins are really Rutgers and Iowa, who, like, Rutgers, their non-conference makes them, like, maybe not even a bubble team right now. So I think it's totally fair. Hopefully
I think we've beaten, what, 1 tournament team?
Yeah. Iowa.
Iowa's the only tournament team we beat.
Yeah, I mean, like, in KenPom, Michigan's 32nd, but their resume is not good, and they didn't have Dickinson when we played them. So it's easy to kind of pick apart our resume. And hopefully and it's the timing of it. Hopefully
it's 17 way too early.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's just the timing of, like, okay, if the Purdue loss was like after we played Michigan State and Wisconsin and Indiana and beaten those team, then you might be like, okay, we were due for a loss or whatever. But in this context of we still haven't really beaten anyone, it makes you question. And maybe on the flip side, some people are like, we haven't really beaten anyone, but this showed us like we can hang with anyone. But maybe that's discounting like what an advantage it is to play at home. And when I think about it, comparing us to, say, Michigan State in the last few days, well, Michigan State lost to Northwestern at home. So maybe that's in our favor of, okay, this is a lot better of a loss. But on the flip side, maybe it's Michigan State was never really a contender, and that just kind of exposed it. So whether or not they had a worse loss than us is kind of like irrelevant towards the culmination of the Illinois season.
Yeah. Josh, you were starting to say something earlier, and I was going to say something based on whatever you said, but now I can't remember what you were saying.
I said it kind of feels like how we all thought about the Wisconsin Big Ten schedule. Like, when they won 2 years ago in 2019, they get the Big Ten crown. Like, we're 6-1. We're 6-1 with a Wisconsin schedule right now.
Yes. Correct. Yes. And I just – maybe that's why I wanted today is just to hang our hat of, you know – like, shut people up with that, and I care too much about shutting people up to the point where when it doesn't happen, I'm depressed. But who knows? Like, the composition of this team, the way that Curbelo looked today, like, it's there, man. Like, it is really, really possible for this team. You know, they have so many different, I always say the term, levers you can pull. So, like, you know, okay. So let's go to March. Let's go to the Iowa game in March on Senior Day. We know what we think that team looks like. It is led by Kofi and a really good point guard who can do what he did today. That spin move on Sasha to tie the game, to send it, like, that's, you know, we haven't had anybody who can do that. Trent's great. Plummer's been awesome. Love me some Grandison, but we haven't had a special, special guy with the ball in his hands like that, you know, this season. So, you know, all of it is there. And what I want this team to be by Iowa is possible to assemble it all, to put it all together. My fear is some bumps here as we try to figure that out. And it's not, oh, is this team better without Curbelo? It's not any, like, kind of like that. It's just, you know, the big wins haven't been there yet. Purdue kind of dictated some things to us today. And, you know, I was having some, like, where's Io moments. Like, we need that guy to settle things who always settled things last year. And so as we work through all of that, I just, you know, I still believe in where they can be. And I'm going to be probably hypercritical until they get there.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I like to kind of lean on is just kind of objective analysis with the, say, KenPom, for example. Like, last year, we were kind of freaking out when we were 9-5. KenPom still says we're a top 10 team. And once again this year, right now, we're ranked 12th. So taking a look at that and saying, wow, okay, we're the 12th best team. And we still feel like we haven't had a lot of continuity with Curbelo. And also, we feel like we've played a weak schedule. Well, at least in the way that KenPom calculates it, like, we still have won by enough margin in a lot of those easier games where it says, like, this is objectively a good team. And maybe 12th and 5th, there's a big difference. And we're done with being a borderline Sweet 16 team, and we really want to be like an Elite Eight, Final Four team. Maybe that's still up in the air, but at least you can maybe hang your hat on that and say, like, hey, all the numbers seem to indicate this is a really good basketball team on paper. And like I think about that game, and the first thing that comes to mind is that missed wide open three by Plummer to start the game. Just great screen. He just misses it at the top of the key. Like later in that game, does Alphonso Plummer miss that three? I don't think so. He kind of got his confidence and his rhythm back. And if he makes that three, like by the dictating of like overtime, we would win that game, right? So it's like, are we going to put all of our marbles into just the fact that we missed one shot that we should have made?
Yeah. I want to know where you guys sit. Okay, let's go to Sam. Sam, forget everything I said or where I'm at with it or whatever. Just after the game, how did you feel about where we're at this season?
I felt okay. I felt hopeful we could get close to last year, but I feel like last year I kind of came into it, not with a loser's mentality, but just like I had never really been at a point where I really believed Illinois basketball could beat anyone they faced. We got to that point last year. It was awesome down the stretch in the Big Ten tournament. It felt like we had an answer for everything. And now it kind of feels like we're just trying to find an answer for anything. So now I would say, like, without Curbelo, I'm like, this team just has a ceiling that's not last year. Now I'm just kind of hoping, like, if Curbelo can come back, like, maybe we can get there. But it feels like last year is kind of like what we're reaching for and haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah. Okay, Josh, what about you?
Given I'm trying to like think of it from a broader perspective than just last year, given that we personally have never seen winning basketball, I'm still much more optimistic. Like this is our third year in a row where we're obviously winning games. I'm much more optimistic. And while we're not last year's team, and I'll admit that, it's still what we learned from last year's tournament is just give us an opportunity. And if you click at the right time, you hit your shots instead of missing. Like Johnny brought up one specific shot. Like you could be winning those games in the tournament. It's just give us the opportunity and keep trying to win more Big Ten games than not, and we should be in the tournament.
Yeah. What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that I'm optimistic about this team, given the I was just so stunned by how well Curbelo played. And I would say as a champion of his fan club, I didn't expect anything like that. I thought he was going to play 6 or 8 minutes at most. Like, I mean, there were the text chains of, oh, is he just there as a decoy to do like with the Hunter Dickinson thing, just to mess with Purdue and say, okay, we're just trying to throw them off, make them the coaches worry about what their game plan was, and maybe put him in there for a little bit in the first half. So then they have to adjust. And then all of a sudden he's just completely running the show. And it was just such a breath of fresh air to see something different with his team and see like at other points throughout the season, even when we were just going through a great stretch, like we had just won 9 out of 10 or whatever. There was still like a mortality and like such a hole with this team that seemed to be lacking in this game. And it's just so hard to separate. Like, did we lose today because Purdue's one of the best teams in the country and they were number one a couple weeks ago? Or was it because of our own flaws? And I kind of tended to think that we put ourselves in a different like threshold or area in a peer set with Purdue that I wouldn't have expected going into this game, because even the Michigan win or any of the other 6 Big Ten wins, it still felt like we're not this elite level Big Ten team that now we can be, even though we lost the game.
It's interesting. So I have two things to say there. One, I totally forgot. I was gonna tweet this, but then I was just gonna include it in the story, and I totally forgot to write it because I was so mad. There was a moment in the first half, Curbelo's kind of first real Curbelo moment. I can't remember the exact play. The way I remember it right now is he was on the left baseline, got separation from his defender with a kind of one of his little ball and a string passes where it looks like he's gonna. Look, he's going to pass, and the guy goes to block the pass, and then he just drops back to do his little quasi fadeaway shot. And when the ball was in the air, it was kind of quiet of the crowds, you know, like leaning in anticipation. And I heard Painter, who's kind of right in front of me, say, oh God, that's so good. And like, just having this like, oh damn, like if he can do that, this team's a problem, you know, kind of thing. Just having this like, whoa, like I teach and train people all the time on basketball, and I'm reading this kind of stuff, and whoa, that what he just did is special.
And that's what was so, it was so surprising, because his game requires so much balance and athleticism and coordination that when you don't play for 2 months, and the reason why you weren't playing was because of dizziness and like post concussion symptoms, like it's kind of insane to think that that would all just come back immediately. And the touch that he had had, and he had 3 assists, but he probably should have had like 7. With he had so many passes, one to Kofi, a couple to BBV, where it was essentially dunks that they couldn't convert. And it's like, if he can do this against Zach Edey and Purdue, then in his first game back after 2 months, it's like, wow, we've kind of struck gold here. And maybe that had to do with a team who didn't game plan for him at all, but there was just something special there that we've not seen.
That was definitely the most encouraging thing today. I'll also say this, and I think, you know, shout out Maddie, because maybe he's with us right now helping me figure this out. It's interesting how you guys reference your fandom, and I'm thinking through my fandom, right? Because, let's see, you guys, do you get all 4 of you get to school the same year?
Yeah, 2014.
So you were 14, 15 through 17, 18?
Exactly. So the first year of Underwood was our senior year.
Got it. So let's just, very obviously, you guys have a different mindset toward Illinois basketball than I, like nearly probably polar opposite kind of thing. You never saw the tournament. You never saw us even sniff double digit conference wins, you know? So you have one mindset, and I am of the generation that screams best team to never win at all. You know, I remember that we could have won it in 84, 87, 89. The 01 team was good enough. The 05 team, the way 04 was playing at the end, if they don't run into Duke. So I, you know, and then last year. So I am this guy who approaches Illinois basketball, again, as a football guy of, look, I never expect my football team to win a national title, ever even get into the playoff. This is not going to happen. Just give me a nice, fun season, please. Just let me go to a bowl. Illinois basketball, I have this cranked up, massive 35 years of my life. I get mad when people claim we're not the best team to never win at all, because, damn it, we're the best team to never win at all. I can tell the stats of, like, okay, here's all the NCAA tournament wins for all these teams. The first 18 teams on this list all have at least one title. We're 19th, and we don't. And so it's either us or Houston, who's the best team to never win at all. You know, 5 Final Fours, blah, 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 blah. I just, you know, because I come from that, I hang three. I just put everything through that test, right? Like, as I'm watching this game today, I want this to be, look, we have Kofi. I'm stuck on that question the guy asked me, is like, if Kofi's National Player of the Year, is the greatest Illini player ever. I keep thinking of that question over and over. I keep thinking of the potential of this team if he is the best player in the country and we do have Curbelo back. And so the pressure of what we do in the tournament probably hangs over me 8 times more than it hangs over you guys, I would think. Because you would just be like, tournament? You mean like go to the tournament? Go ahead, Sam. I can tell you
to say something. I was just going to say, I think that like so accurately describes it, because I've always said my dream for Illinois basketball, I would be so happy if we were just an equivalent of Purdue, constantly banking, you know, solid 4 stars. We don't have a ton of tournament success maybe, but we're, you know, top 25. Uh-huh. We're always competitive. Like, to me, that for a long time, Brad Underwood being Matt Painter, Illinois being Purdue, was pretty satisfactory to me, which kind of what you're describing is pretty short of what your benchmark probably is.
Yes. Yeah, you have to, like, you know, when I was growing up as a fan, you know, the, like, late 80s, we were like 4 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 2 seed, 1 seed. You know, it was like we were, it wasn't even a question. It was like, what's our angle to maybe get to the Final Four this year? And, oh, as a 2 seed, well, who's the one? Oh, as a 3 seed, that 3-2 game, how can we get to the Elite Eight? You're just thinking in those terms every single year. I was never once in the will we make the tournament mode, which is why the Bruce Pearl thing and the sanctions were so like, wait, banned from the tournament? No, we go to the tournament every year. We can't be banned. Gosh, what did we do that year? We went like 21-9 or something the year we were even banned from the tournament. Anyway, point being is, yes, there's kind of maybe two fandoms here at play where, you know, I'm still in this, you know, I'm getting older now and I thought it would have happened by now and I lived through this last decade and I feel that we're back and we may have the best player in the country. This has to go somewhere. Maybe I need to be a little more careful with my, you know, letting that hang over the whole season.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I would say Sam's like view of our program is definitely different than me. For example, like having been a fan growing up and watching, say, the 05 and then just kind of the formative years of like middle school and high school, just kind of the program go straight downhill. Last year was so fleeting because to me it was like, okay, we're finally back and like this is the time for Illinois basketball to like reclaim its throne. That loss was even more like depressing because I was like, wow, like we had it and then we lost it just like we lost it in 05 and everything just went downhill. And to me it was like, well, in my younger days it was all you're arguing with your dad about how the 05 team is better than the 88 team, and then to have us lose in the second round, it was like, this isn't even an argument. And like, it's such a mental block that IO can't even be in that same discussion. So it was like so fleeting that it almost makes this year, like to me, it was like, you need to like settle down your expectations because everything was hinging on last year being the team. And you brought back everyone except the National Player of the Year. And I guess you also like Adam Miller, Georgie, but basically you brought back a lot of the core except for the best guy on the team. How can you possibly imagine it to be the team? So it's almost like a recalibration of expectations and saying like, okay, we know we can't be last year's team. And I think it's not about being better than last year's team. It's just about like maybe being a little luckier than last year's team.
Yeah. And not face an in-state.
Yeah, team who is a top 10 team in KenPom as an 8 seed.
Yes, exactly.
And Robert, I look at KenPom from time to time, and sometimes I'm like, oh, let's look at the old data from 2002. And it's like, oh, Illinois was a 4 seed, but the number 19 in KenPom. And then 2003, same sort of thing. And like, it's almost like 2003, we were ranked the 5th best team in KenPom and a 4 seed. Like, it seems like it always happens to us that things just don't go our way. And we've got such an like great collection of talent or just a team that really is able to put it all together. And all the roadblocks seem to always not come up for Illinois. And I guess tonight was another example of that with you have everything there and you kind of have a great performance out of someone like Urbelo. And, no, they're going to foul Kofi out of the game, and you're not going to have him for pretty much either overtime.
Yeah, it's funny. Excuse me. Carmen and I were talking. So Carmen was at my house from Friday afternoon till this afternoon. He basically came down from the Michigan game and stayed. My wife is, God bless her, she allows Carmen to just come basically live here for 3 days. And so we've had every meal with Carmen, like every morning at breakfast is just me, my wife, and Carmen sitting around drinking coffee. You know, he and I touched on the subject of those seeds. You know, our topic at dinner on Saturday night was like, we just have to get the 2-3. Like 2-3 is everything. I hate the 4-5. We went back through all those years that you're mentioning. you know, 2006 was the most offensive to me. You know, in 2006, we should not have been that 4-5 game against Washington. We were way better than that. We were up to, like, what were we, like, ninth in the polls or something like that, and we got a 4 seed. I remember just so stunned when that bracket came out. So we've had so many moments with that stupid 4-5. I just want to slide into a 3 this year and then, you know, win a region as a 3 by knocking off that 3-2 game or something like that, because we've just never had that road. We did – God, when was the last time we were – I said we were trying to figure this out. It's probably like 88 is the last time we were on the 2-3 line. Is that right? See, now I got to look this up. Johnny, you got a computer in front of you?
I do have a computer in front of me.
I think it's ESPN has a thing of all of our seeds. Or no, it's on the Wikipedia page that just lists year after year our seeds. I'm pretty sure we've either been 1-4-5 or lower ever. I think 88 was the last time we were on the 2 or 3 line. Is that right? I think that's right. Because like 01, we were 1, and then we went like 4-4-5-4, and then back to 1 or something like that. I'm gonna let you look it up. But that was Carmen and my conversations because
I got it.
Okay, hit me.
You went after 89.
What was 88? A 3?
88 was a 3.
Okay, so then 89. We have not been a 2 or a 3 since, right?
Yeah. 4 in 2006.
Just read all the numbers. Yeah, we went like 4, 6, 9.
All right, wait, are we starting in 89?
Starting
88. 88 to 3. 89 is a 1. 90 is a 5. 93 is a 6. 94 is a 8. 95 is an 11. 97 is a 6. 98 is a 5. 2000 is a 4. 2001 is a 1. Then we have a 4 in 2002 and 2003. A 5 in 2004, a 1 in 2005, a 4 in 2006, a 12 in 2007, a 5 in 2009, a 9 in 2011, and a 7 in 2013.
And then back to a 1.
Back to a 1. So, yes, we have
so we've gone on that 2 or 3 part of the bracket. I mean, we had that 6 in there, I guess, but like we've been upper part of the bracket like 90% of the time.
That's your Oracle brain. That was just Oracle brain.
Yeah. So yes. So like God, maybe I just do hang way too much. Maybe this is what we're figuring out here, is that big picture hangs over me way too much. That like, what can this you know, especially after Loyola, and we probably the window closes a bit after this year, you know, say Kofi goes pro, we lose Plummer, Trent, DeMonte. Next year's a restructure the whole program year, you know, bring in a couple transfers, this and that's probably not going to be, you know, what this was. So I just, maybe the pressure of what this season needs to be is a little too much for me right now. Maybe I'm letting it get to me.
Maybe I'm thinking about today's game and the last few games from Omar Payne, but I look at that and I don't see next year as much of a restructuring year in the Big Ten for our team. Okay. Like we're definitely lower than yep. this year's team, but we're not. We have players that we come in that we can rely on.
I don't know about that. Like if you look at how we played Michigan, who had 3 McDonald's All-Americans, and the reason why we kind of beat them is because we had 3 fifth-year seniors and Grandison and Kofi. Like the age that of these guys is just so huge.
Yeah, it just feels like so many times Trent and Plummer, if not Kofi, have shot ourselves into a game or shot ourselves out of a bad situation, and I'm just like, man, we're gonna miss that. Like I have no idea who's gonna take their place next year when we're in a crunch.
We're like in a deeper deepest darkest secret sadness mood, and we're 6-1 in the Big Ten. Like I understand it's like we have 5 players that are fifth year seniors and probably leaving after this year. I'm just still confident in the team that's behind them because they're learning and part of these games as well.
I mean, I think it's just all about expectations, and it's like a championship window and like Big Ten championship window this year. And like last year was a national championship window. Next year, like being a mediocre team in the Big Ten is nice, and we can make the tournament. But like
we were day one team before this, so we have a 3-win year window that's ending maybe this year. But it's like not like going as, I don't think next year's as low as any Gross team that we had to deal with our 4 years.
But like being a John Gross team, that like comparing that, that's irrelevant. I don't want to compare us like, to what, being a John that, Gross team.
That's what I view a restructuring year from what was said before.
No, I mean, I agree with Robert. Like a restructuring year is what will probably happen next year. And like, hopefully that sort of year is being an 8 seed or a 9 seed and not missing the tournament, but that's still restructuring and not like in a year championship window, which I mean, hopefully you get the right transfers so you can maximize having a junior Andre Curbelo who seems to be poised to be an All-American next year. Maybe this is me going crazy after one game, but the point that we were kind of making was like Big Ten championship window, very small. So like take advantage of it now.
I agree. And like, yeah, maybe I should feel good about caring about next year. I spent so many years, the last 10 years, just hoping to get on the bubble and maybe fall on the right side of it that, you know, oh God, we might be a 9 seed next year. Feels pretty good. But yeah, so let's say Grandison comes back because he could come back for one more year. We're Curbelo. So Kofi gone, Plummer gone, Trent gone, DeMonte gone. So we go.
Bello, Grandison.
We bring in Epps, Harris, Rogers, who will be a year away. Hawkins needs to be the breakout junior year player. So Curbelo, Grandison, Hawkins, one of the freshmen, Goody, Pods, Melendez, somebody breaks out. Yeah, that still needs probably two transfers to really boost it. Or else maybe we don't get to, I think Bello can be that, you know, it's his team kind of guy, but he's going to need scorers. And I'm not sure who those, you know, Grandison's not a scorer. So, you know, it might need to be like, go find that guy scoring 19 points a game somewhere and plug him in immediately.
Yeah. I mean, and hopefully Danger is the, like between yep. him and Payne, one of them works out where you like really have a solid post presence, but it's still a lot of question marks as opposed to this team with so many knowns and certainties where it's like, this is the year you really have to pounce because then are we getting Andre Curbelo back for a 4th year? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, well then we're looking at Kylan Boswell and all those guys, but you still have so much a progression that you're going to need out of this freshman class. And are any of these freshmen all Big Ten guys? And like, you really need multiple all Big Ten guys if you want to be a championship level team. So that's kind of why the weight is on this year's team to really
and
go
you would
deep.
Really need Rogers or even Epps to be like a who's the guy who was Harris's teammate and is now Branham at Ohio State. You need somebody who could be a freshman year, like instant offense guy. That would go a long way with next year's team. If like, okay, let's say Jaden Epps is some kind of crazy, like, you know, burst scorer and he scores even like 12 points a game as a freshman or something like that. But that would go a long way. You know, so Bella's got to get the ball to somebody. And so, you know, you're going to need that score.
Yeah, I did have a dark thought recently where, like, we almost unearthed Ty Washington and just added him to our team, and now he's scoring 28 for Kentucky. Like, they almost just stealthed that one through. And also, that would have been the potential for, like, Adam Miller to really, like, this would have been the year for him to really catapult. And as great as Plummer has been, it's such a short-term solution that you hope that you can kind of get someone long-term to really be that like next scorer. And it's a bummer that we had both of those guys so in our grasp and kind of lost both of them.
I mean, it's encouraging though, right? I mean, it's just the thing I've been tweeting about so lately of like the top four tier players in KenPom all visited us in the fall of 2018. Like, you know, this staff has really, you know, you look at Colin Castleton visiting. Look at, you know, this staff has been able to identify guys that will be good in college, and, you know, speaks well for the future for Goody, and speaks well for the future of what Ty Rogers is going to be and that type of thing. So I feel good about the program and everything else. I guess I'm just obsessed with this window. And if even a double overtime loss to Purdue, who's number four, with Kofi only playing 22 minutes and Verdonk having to play 20, you know, even a loss like that, I stare at the window and it's like, did it lower a little bit? I think it's lower. I think it lowered a little bit. I think there's less of it. This window's going to close. You know, I'm just so nervous about that, that, you know, I don't know where to put it, which I guess is just how anyone would explain the fan of a team, of the best team to never win at all. Of, you know, you're just kind of obsessed with, here, we got another window here. We've got to strike while the iron's hot. We got to do it. We need a Big Ten title. That banner, the last one, was 2005. We need a 2022 up there. We need to stop this dry spell. You know, I just get so, so obsessed with what this will mean in history.
That's totally fair. And, I mean, we're going to have to keep debating this for a very long time, and we'll see if your gripe does come to fruition. Hopefully it doesn't. I did want to just bring something quickly up. Johnny and I, over New Year's, you post your because you said the name earlier, Johnny, you posted your 10 names you'll learn in 2022. Johnny and I are at a bunk bed in the lake house, and we wake up the morning, we're like, all right, I'm Johnny, try to guess who the 10 names are. And I think Johnny went 6 for 10.
Johnny, my God.
Yeah, it was like, okay, Raina Terry got that.
Right.
Yeah, Boswell, Terry, and Caden were gimmies.
Yes. Fagan is yes. The basketball and football recruit were the lock of all locks for this year's list. Yeah. Dion locks. You Johnny, got Raina Terry, too?
Yeah, got Raina Terry. That's kind of like in the mold of, okay, who's this future star volleyball player or future star? And then also Pearson Hunt, same thing, where it's like, okay, we know this guy's good. He's looking for.
Is he the next Thomas Peters? Is he the next, like, really, really good Illini golfer? Yes. Who surprised you on the list, Johnny? Do you remember?
Ooh, well, like, let me pull it up.
Did you guess anybody? No, if you guess some people that are going to make me say.
No, oh, he guessed. Right. He definitely guessed Olivia Howell. I can tell you that. But what
that one's easy.
I think he just like struggled. He didn't know which walk on you were going to go for football. Mm-hmm. Like, because you usually just give a walk on like Fed or anyone like that. So I don't even know who you guessed, Johnny, but it was Miles Scott who you chose.
I almost went with the Dark Angel.
Yeah, I think I might have said not Owen Hickey, but the other receiver.
Is that the kid from Kansas?
No, not Ty Lindenman. Huge Ty Lindenman fan, though.
Get him returning punt.
Yes.
5-5 punt returner.
No, who was the kid who went to, he played D3 and then.
Oh, Peyton.
Vining.
Vining.
Yes.
Yeah. From Denison, right?
Yeah, Denison. Exactly. I think that might have been my inclination.
High school teammate of the Brown twins.
Yes, exactly.
That's the connection there. Yes. Yeah, that would have been a good one. That would have been. I like.
But yeah, I just had to bring that up, given that Kylan's name came up. Hopefully, we can just speak that into fruition. Except you've been kind of very not accurate on the names that we should know and who eventually.
Oh, the recruiting names have been
brutal,
pathetic, just awful. Well, I mean, the players have turned out okay.
Yeah,
us landing them,
no.
Awful.
Yeah.
Although I can pretty much say with confidence, just based on his handedness, that we're going to get Day-Day Ames just because he's a lefty. Like, you can guarantee Underwood's going to get a lefty in every single class. So yes. feel good about him.
Or three. Yes. Yes. Did I use who did I have for basketball?
You had Dane.
Who did I have for the basketball recruit for last year in the 2020 list?
Was that Hopkins?
I put Boswell this year. It wasn't Hopkins.
I'll look it up.
Oh, was okay. It the kid who committed to North Carolina? Oh, no, the kid who committed to Miami.
Yeah, AJ Casey.
AJ Casey.
Oh, AJ Casey. Yep, yep, that was it.
Good that job, John. It. Yeah, John wouldn't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess to wrap things up, hopefully when we look back at this conversation, we're like, wow, we really freaked out about losing our second game in 22 Big Ten games, and it was against the number 4 team, and a team that I would say is the most talented team in the Big Ten. They have a lottery pick swingman. They have two impressive bigs. They have a dead-eye three-point shooter, and you gave a C-plus effort, and you still went to double overtime with them. So hopefully a lot of positive things to take away from the game, but at the same time, we were the hunters and they were the hunted, and that obviously didn't sit well with you, Robert.
You're playing the company line, Johnny. I love it. Yeah, I really hope so. I don't know why I'm so depressed after this one, but tonight helped. This conversation helped. I need to do some examination on how much I big picture this stuff and look at the window and what this team needs to be for me. I'm going to blame Carmen for a lot of that. It's all his brain and our conversations this weekend. So I'm basically claiming he did this to me. He like drove me back here and then took off. And like, we're just, he hates Purdue so much. And I was this bitter. It was an ugly, ugly car ride. But God bless it. We're going to stick by it. And at some point this is going to happen. And when we're in the tournament and we're winning tournament games this March, we're going to look back on this and say it was so silly to be this concerned. And it's Carmen's fault.
ILL.